Welcome to Challenging Silence, a podcast from Women's Health and Women's Hands Community Health Center.
On this show, we are having much needed discussions about topics related to female genital mutilation or cutting with survivors, advocates, and community members. We're your hosts, Tommy Lola
and Nanti. Challenging Silence is brought to you by the Flourish Project, made possible through funding from Women and Gender Equality Canada.
You can listen to this podcast series on all major podcast listening platforms and our website, flourishaccess.ca.
Please note that this podcast covers topics of a sensitive nature, including domestic abuse and violence. To ensure privacy and safety, some guests have chosen to remain anonymous.
This podcast is age appropriate for 16 plus.
In our last conversation, we had the pleasure of speaking with an FGMC survivor who shared their journey and experience with FGMC, and what an insightful conversation that was. But FGMC is not widely known about in Western countries like Canada, and often there are a lot of misconceptions and untruths about it, which can be both misleading and dangerous.
This week, we dive into the myths associated with female genital mutilation or cutting. To help debunk these myths, today's guest is Sauda. It's a pleasure to have you on this episode. Please introduce yourself to our listener.
Thank you for having me. My name is Sauda. My ethnic background is the Gambia. I was born and raised in Toronto, Ontario, and I'm so happy to be a part of this podcast.
And thank you for joining us today, Sauda. So let's start with whether FGMC is still common or not. Many would say that with the international initiatives and programs by NGOs on the front lines, many communities have abandoned this practice. What are your thoughts about this? Is FGMC still a prevalent issue?
FGM is a prevalent issue. It's still going on. It's just very secretive. It's not very known, but it's people still do it today. Just in secret, they either go back home and do it. Some people may do the practice here, but it's very still common.
Yes, FGMC is a very secretive practice. And with the global awareness, there's more awareness about FGMC globally, that more people are practicing it even in more secretively. They're not talking about it. As you said, they go back home. So folks who live in Canada or other immigrant receiving countries, they go back to their country of origin, they get FGMC, and they don't talk about it when they come back home. And usually this happens for especially young girls during their summer vacations from school. They have to practice at home and come back, and no one ever talks about it anymore.
Yeah, there has been an increased medicalization of female genital mutilation in some practicing countries, and some individuals have the view that FGMC is safer if it's performed by a skilled health worker instead of like the traditional cutters that we know about. So, Saudi, what are your thoughts on the trend of medicalization? Can FGMC be performed without causing harm or long-term consequences?
FGMC has an enormous harm and has long-term consequences, whether it's performed by medical doctors or non-medical doctors. It's still a harmful practice to perform. Some girls have a hard time using the washroom, or even like during their menses, it's a hard period in their lives. It could also affect long-term, such as giving birth, and a lot of diseases may come to the practice as well.
Yes, for sure. Just to give our listeners a little bit of context, traditionally, FGMC is formed by a traditional cutter, which is usually a female elder in the community, and they've been doing it for many years. And usually, the tools that they use, it's the same tool for multiple girls when they do the cutting. It's usually done multiple girls at the same time who have FGMC performed on them. So with the backlash about the negative aspects of FGMC, in a lot of practicing countries, there's been a shift to a medicalization of FGMC, where parents think it is much safer to take their daughters to a doctor or a nurse to have FGMC perform rather than using a traditional cutter. If we go to a doctor or nurse, then we won't have these long-term complications, which is very false. Regardless of who performs FGMC, it can always cause negative consequences. Like Sauda said, urinary problems, chronic pain, childbirth, complications, especially depending on the type of FGMC. So in general, it doesn't matter who performs it at the end of the day, because FGMC is altering their natural body's physiology. It could cause negative consequences.
Thank you for elaborating on that, Tamilola. You raise very valid points in terms of the consequences that come with cutting, whether it's done in hospital setup or it's done in the traditional setup that it's normally done in. And thank you, Sadi, for bringing your points as well.
Yeah. And some individuals in Western countries like Canada, they may believe that women understand and give consent to the procedure before cutting. What would you say about this assumption, in that for people who don't truly understand FGMC, and they think that, they must have given their consent to have this performed of them. And we say that because FGMC has four types, and type four is any injury to the genital area, which could include like piercing, which is something that at times is performed in the Western world for personal reasons. Some people might decide to have a piercing in their vaginal area. So there may be a misconception that in practicing communities, individuals who have had FGMC, they consented to it. What would you say about this assumption, Sauda?
Consent is totally thrown out the window. There's no consent involved when performing FGM, because usually the person who is going to have the procedure, they don't know. They're usually forced to have the procedure done to them. Usually, someone would tell them, hey, let's go somewhere. They don't know where they're going, and all of a sudden, they have this practice performed on them. So usually, consent is not involved. It's usually forced on them due to the community or the elders as well.
Yeah, we know that FGMC can be performed on girls as early as less than a year old. Most FGMC is performed between the age of 0 to 15 years old. And a child or teenager usually don't have a full understanding about what FGMC is. So we can't assume that most women who have undergone FGMC consented to having this procedure performed on them. It's usually performed on them when they're children, and they might not even remember, they might not have any recollection about when it occurred to them. So most of the time, they do not consent to FGMC being performed on them.
And within practicing communities, many people believe FGMC has religious roots, especially those who support and perpetuate the practice. Is FGMC required by certain religions, Sauda?
FGM is not a religious practice, it's a cultural practice. Most people use religion as a way, sometimes they kind of misunderstand or misinterpret some religious texts, and they kind of use religion as a way to provide proof and facts for those who are not knowledgeable about their religion, especially in Islam. So I'm Muslim, and usually some people utilize certain texts to say that FGM is a religious practice, but when someone has the knowledge and understanding of the religion, it's not a religious practice at all. It's usually cultural.
And what would you say, since we have established that it is not a religious practice, it's mostly cultural, what would you say are some cultural reasons communities practice FGMC? So, for example, in your community as a Gambian, what are some reasons you've heard, seen to justify the continued practicing of FGMC?
Mostly that I have heard is like there's a category of what a good girl should be and should behave. So in order to have a good girl, she must perform FGM, or like some girls in some communities believe like FGM is something that it's normal and it should be done just to be more feminine in a way. I heard some people say FGMC is a good thing because to control the female sexuality, so she doesn't go sleep around with multiple people. She stays contact as a virgin until she gets married. The fear of a girl being over sexualized, I guess, in a way, just to control her sexuality until she gets married. And most people think it's a good thing that she stays as a virgin until she gets married, so they use FGM as a way for her to not be sexually active.
Yeah, those are definitely some reasons that some communities do continue to practice FGM. Some other reasons I've seen, doing my research about FGMC, some communities see it as a way of beautification. They see it as by doing FGMC, a woman is more beautiful, or they categorize the clitoris as something that is similar to like to the male's penis. So they believe that removing it will make them more, the woman more and the girls more feminine. Some believe that it improves fertility. Some continue to practice FGMC to just respect the tradition. They don't want the tradition to die. It's a rite of passage in some communities. Yeah, so those are some reasons why in some places they continue to justify the performance of FGMC, even though it's been proven that it has no health benefits whatsoever.
Thank you for joining us, Sauda. Thank you for debunking some of the myths that we talked about and for giving us perspective from your own lens, being a member of a community that in some areas they still do practice FGMC. So thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
I think we could all agree that having the correct knowledge about any subject is important, especially for folks here in Canada who want to learn and understand more about female genital mutilation or cutting. As we've said in previous episodes, women here from non-practicing communities should be aware about FGMC because it is as relevant as any other type of physical or sexual violence that any woman could experience in their life.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, join us again in our next episode where we'll be talking about more important topics surrounding female genital mutilation or cutting. We will be talking about silence and resilience within practicing communities, and our guest will help educate and empower us on this topic. See you then.